in Chicago. On this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day in the nearby contracts for the wheat just a bit higher. December at 645 and a half, up one. March at 684 and a half, up a half. The May at 709 and a quarter, three quarters higher. And July unchanged at 720 and a quarter. Hard red from Kansas City, up 3 cents in the two nearby December and March contracts. December corn futures back in Chicago, 515 and a quarter, 5.5 cents lower for the day. March down 5.5 as well at $5.29 and a quarter. The May corn at $5.37 and a quarter, down 4 3/4, and July at 5.40 3/4, down a nickel for the day. December futures, 4.83 and a quarter, down 7 3/4. January beans at $12.21 and a half, 20 higher. March at 12.28 3/4, up 19 3/4. The May at $12.29, 19 higher. July at 12.30 3/4, up 18 3/4. And next year's November at $11.35. Up 9 1/4 for the day. December bean meal at $3.33.60, up 7.80. December oil at $49.18, 22 cents higher. Mercantile Exchange live cattle futures, $100.92.5, down 52.5. February at $104.60, down 42.5. January feeders at $117.40, unchanged on the day, and the March contract at $117.70, a nickel higher. December lean hog futures at $69.40 per 100 pounds, up 27.5 cents. You're listening to the closing market report from Urbana-Champaign, the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. The nearby contract in the crude oil trading at $81.72 a barrel, down 26 cents. Ethanol at $2.08 0.6, a penny and 0.8 lower. Natural gas at $4.27 1/2, down 11 1/10 cents. And the heating oil, otherwise known as diesel fuel, just about 0.6 cents lower at $2.26 8/10. Gold futures for the day at $1,357.70, the settlement price up $5.50 an ounce. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now just about 52 points lower at 11,152. The U.S. dollar at 78.68 is up 0.17 on the afternoon, and the CRB index at 298.02 is down 0.87 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service. We'll start actually with the tornado watch, which is in effect until 6 p.m. this evening. The only county in the WILL listing area is McLean County. There will be others if you're listening in other areas of the state. Tornadoes, hail with 1.5 inch in diameter, thunderstorms, gusting winds up to 70 miles an hour, dangerous lightning are possible. That through 6 p.m. this evening. One county within our coverage area from Urbana-Champaign, McLean County, is in that area. But check your local weather to make sure whether you're covered or not. Here's what the forecast looks like. It says this afternoon, 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. It'll be cloudy, a high near 70 degrees, breezy, south-southwest winds between 18 and 23. Tonight, occasional showers, a few thunderstorms. That'll happen before midnight. A low around 35 degrees, south-southwest winds at 10 to 18 miles an hour. They'll become northwesterly with a gust as high as 26 mile an hour. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, a high of just, 41. North-northwest winds between 5 and 11 miles an hour. They'll gust all the way to 16. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, now joins us to take a look at the agricultural marketplace. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. Hey, Kurt, I want to say thank you so much for coming in on Friday of last week for Commodity Week. It was an interesting show. You and Pete Manhart, Dan Zwicker, and John Bondurant had a great conversation.
Oh, it's fantastic. It was. The best part was the old cotton picker part.
You know what, Pete, when I called, Pete answered the phone. He said he didn't realize that I had left all of that. I told you all that was running the whole time. And honestly, I have to talk to the folks and tell them that when we started that show, I didn't do it as usual. And usually the show for the folks that are in studio with me sounds pretty much like it does when it gets done on the air. And when I got to Friday last week, I thought it was, because we had Bondurant on the phone line, I thought it might be interesting to try something a little different. So we sat down, and I called John, and then as you heard the beginning of that show, you heard the whole thing. I started the recorders, asked John if it was okay just to let it run, and asked these three guys if it was okay. We just had a conversation, and we talked for 50 minutes. It is still up on the website and will be for the rest of the week at willag.org under Commodity Week. Lots of good information. And Neil, yeah, did Pete get in trouble?
Not yet. I don't think his wife knows, so we won't tell her.
You know what? I went to edit, and I kind of forgot about that. Usually I take something like that out.
But John's a good guest. A lot of the listeners we visit with, one of the top guests that you have on regularly is John.
Yeah, so if you haven't heard that program, or if you heard Commodity Week but you don't get a chance to listen online, find someplace to go and listen to it. It's 50 minutes and not 27 minutes, which is what Commodity Week really runs. And it's a good program. If nothing else, I will run excerpts and probably mostly the second half of the program on Thursday afternoon during closing market report, but you'll have to pick it up on some of our other stations because it won't air here on the local radio station, the home radio station. So if you're in Watsico or you're in Clinton or you're up in Kankakee, or Kewaunee, I'm sorry, in that area, you'll be able to pick it up on Thursday, at least the second half of the program. So be sure you try to find it on willag.org or one of those radio stations. Okay, so the marketplace continues, and, well, it was an easier day today than it has been for a while. What did you make of the trade?
Well, it kind of a mixed trade. You know, beans finished higher along with wheat, corn a little on the defensive side. Corn traded both sides. Corn struggled due to the fact that crude was hard down during the day there, and also the funds were liquidating. Funds sold about 15,000 contracts of corn. So with them being big sellers and corn just down a nickel, I think that's kind of a moral victory. Corn's in a position here where it's resting above support levels, where it's in a position now that once this commodity fund selling runs its course, we could focus back to the fundamentals and see a recovery. Beans gets the star of the day. They came in here and traded kind of mixed last night and was firm most of the day session. Renewed concerns about dryness in the southern hemisphere. Argentina continues to go backwards on moisture situation as far as their forecast goes. It looks like maybe a quarter to half an inch and not much moisture in the forecast. And the trade's starting to get a little bit more concerned about that. And secondly, too, with the break here in the marketplace, trade's geared up to be looking for some more Asia bean business. So we would not be surprised to see the Chinese come in here and announce some sales. But historically, this is a good week for the grain market as we go into the Thanksgiving holiday.
How would you categorize the long term from this point forward? We've had a pretty good drop back. How would you categorize that drop back and whether or not producers need to be worried about it?
Well, it's scary. I mean, this is a good old-fashioned gut check. On the way up there, producers were wanting a break to get stuff bought and replaced on paper. We've gotten a break. Now they wish they had been sellers near the high. So it's an emotional roller coaster. We view this as a break as an opportunity to get some cash replacements on. We've been promoting to be cash sellers here on the way up, and we've got producers pretty well where they need to be, hopefully on cash sales. And we view this pullback in here as a opportunity to transfer ownership to paper. There's a lot of strategies you could use to have ownership. You could go option-wise 20, 30 cents a bushel. You'd have ownership on paper. That's the most you would lose if we don't see the market get up and go, for say. So, as far as producers that want to sell more cash grain, I'd ride it out here for a little bit. And we feel there's one more push to the upside here. With the dryness in a good portion of the growing region and the strong demand around there, we feel that the market's just not over yet, and we'll have some higher prices here as we move down the road.
And does that mean for end users, livestock producers in particular, beef cattle producers, poultry producers, the hog producers, they might think about locking in some of their inputs for the coming months?
We feel so. Producers are pretty well sold up, and that as we move down the road in here, it might be kind of hard to secure cash supplies. But like I say, you know, for 20, 30 cents, these option strategies are a tool to get your foot in the door in here. So if this thing takes off later this winter, next spring on dry forecast, you've got some coverage on. It's a high-risk market. It's a dynamic market. We're going to see some big ups and big downs for some time to come yet, Todd.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Very good.
Hey, that's Kirk Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Monday afternoon.